us. He promises to be that constant companion that would never leave us nor forsake us and would be our help in times when we needed help. But Jesus himself promised us some things, and we've been studying in our adult Sunday school class about the exceeding great and precious promises which God has given us. Amen. And I'm thankful for those promises. Amen. And I'm thankful that they're not just promises like the world gives, but they're exceeding great and precious promises. Let me say this to you. If you don't make it out to Sunday school class, you miss a blessing sometimes. Amen. And it's not because I teach the class. I love to teach the class. But it's not about me. We interact in the class. And everybody has something and shares something. And it becomes a blessing. And I got thinking about that this afternoon. And some of the promises that Jesus has given us that are available to us in his person only are those exceeding great and precious promises. In John chapter number 14, he's on his way to Calvary. He's just a few hours away from going through the sham of the trial that he goes through. And he shares a few things, just five things I want you to see here real quick. And then we'll go to the house. We'll have a men's meeting, go to the house, amen, and go realizing the exceeding great and precious promises that we have. In chapter 14, and in verse number 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus says, "In my Father's house." He wants us to be with him, but he wants us to be with him where his Father is. Amen. You know, when my daughter was little, I had a niece that was about her same age, and she come to spend the summer with us. Well, she's my great niece, actually, and she come to spend the summer with us. Well, the first thing we found out right off, amen, was my little girl wasn't up to sharing her daddy with any other little girl. It didn't matter who she was. Amen. And I'm talking about, they were about eight years old or so, or maybe not quite that old, but say eight years old. And the first time she seen the other little girl sitting on her daddy's lap, the horns came out and the smoke began to billow out of her nostrils. Amen. And she wasn't having it. But Jesus wants us to be with him. Jesus wants us to be in his Father's house. Jesus wants to share his home and his abode with us. What a great promise from God's word. And then look down a little bit further in verses 16 to 18. Let's go back to verse 18. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." Listen at this. "I will come to you." Jesus wants us to be in the Father's house. He says, "I am the Father. I and the Father am one." Amen. He don't want us separated. But he not only said that, he said, "I want you to be comforted. And I want you to be comforted to the point I'm not going to comfort you like the world comforts you. I'm going to comfort you by my presence." He said, "I'm going to pray the Father to send the Spirit." Who's the Spirit but Jesus himself? He said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." Amen. What a great, exceeding and precious promise that he's given us, that he would dwell with us, he would abide in us. Amen. And he would comfort us. Paul said, "Blessed be the Lord and our God." Let me just turn over and read it to you. I'd rather read it to you than misquote it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, the only thing I can do to help anybody that needs to be comforted is tell them about Jesus. How was I comforted? Jesus. Amen. Jesus said he would come into my heart and he would be there. He said he'd pray the Father that God would send the Comforter. And when God sent the Comforter, who did he send? He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Amen. He himself is our comfort and our strength and our hope. And then down a little bit further in chapter 14, in verse number 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I tell you what, I like the peace like Jesus gives. Amen. I like the peace that he instills in our hearts and our lives. It's not a peace that the world can offer. It's not a peace that the world even affords or that the world even holds. It's the peace that only Jesus can give us in our hearts and lives. And he said he would give us that peace. And he leaves us with that peace. You know, the apostles, for the majority, all died as martyrs. But they died with peace in their hearts. Amen. The child of God that must die, the child of God that must face death, the child of God that hears the doctor say, you're going to die. The child of God that hears the enemies of the cross say that you're going to die. The child of God that knows they're facing certain death faces it with a peace in their heart and a peace in their life. I have been at the bedside of the child of God when he slipped from the land of the dying into the land of the living on numerous occasions and have always just felt the sweet peace of Jesus. In that time of crossing. But I've been at the bedside of people who didn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and feared and went out of this world with such turmoil in their hearts and their lives. I've never heard it, but I've heard the preachers that have been there and heard of people screaming. They could already feel the flames of hell looking at their bodies because they didn't know Jesus as their Savior. And without that knowledge and without that understanding and without trusting him as your Savior, you don't have peace. You don't have peace while you live, and you'll never have peace while you die. Amen. I've watched people go through trials and through addictions and through problems, and they have no peace in their, they're looking for something that the world can't give them. And Jesus said, I'll give you peace not like the world does. I give you peace that makes a difference, that makes a change in your heart and in your life. I've seen people that were drunks and had been through programs and seven-step programs and this program and that program and could never get their life straightened out. Addicts that have never been able to get their life straightened out. Adulterers and adulteresses that could never get their life straightened out. People that just kept falling back into the same old traps and that they were trying to get their life straightened out, trying to find peace. But when they found Jesus, they found everything. When they found Jesus, they found peace for their souls. And when they found peace for their souls, they found peace in their lives, and they were able to make things right. Able to make a change that this world couldn't afford. And they had something that this world couldn't give them. They had a joy that comes from within. A joy that comes from the inner man, from a heart that's at peace and a soul that's content, a soul that's comforted in knowing that God has loved them so much that he's made preparations for them to be able to come to be with him. Over in chapter 15, verse number 11, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What a sweet, what a great, what an exceeding great. Not just in a worldly view, but in a spiritual view, an exceeding great and precious promise from the very word of God that his joy might remain. You know, Jesus wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy in him and to know in him we have everything that we need. I'm glad for those promises that he's made to us. I'm glad for the hope that he instills within us. And I'm glad for the joy, the peace, the comfort, and the total surrender of everything that he is unto us. Jesus wants us to have it all. But the only way we have it all is in him. We're going to stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed for one moment.